Tomorrow is the deadline for farmers to apply for Coronavirus Food Assistance Program 2. We're discussing COVID relief for farmers facing market disruptions, the impact of this aid, and what is needed next. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The USDA earmarked up to $14 billion in the second round of aid for producers. Farmers, how has the pandemic affected your farm finances? Have you lost clients? Are there gaps in your supply chain? It's 800-642-1234. Linda Seeler operates Hillside Dairy. It's an organic farm milking 50 cows, raising replacement heifers in Catawba in Price County. She's on the board of the Wisconsin Farmers Union representing District 1, which is 15 northern Wisconsin counties. Linda, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you.
Well, first, take us to your farm, if you will. Give us a snapshot of your operations.
We're a grass milk farm. We ship milk to Organic Valley. We are milking cows right now, as a matter of fact.
Thank you for letting us disrupt your morning.
No, I actually have a person here that works with me. So, yeah, it was good. I'm taking a few minutes off. We operate about, the farm itself is 198 acres, and we operate, lease, rent another 200 acres. So we make all of our own feed. So that keeps us plenty busy over the summer. And we are grazing anytime it's grazing season. We usually average about 165 days a year on an average season.
Yeah. Why organic? Why did you go this direction?
Well, we were conventional until I believe we began to transition probably around 2005. We were always kind of more organic than conventional. There were a lot of things that we just didn't do. It really suited our lifestyle and the farm that we're at. I mean, there's a lot of grass up in northern Wisconsin that is just available. It was just a really good fit for us. We like the way that the cows exercise. We like having them outside. We don't really like them confined all the time. They are confined somewhat in the winter in a freestall barn, but that's for their, you know, because the elements don't really allow them to be outside. But really the grazing lifestyle appealed to us. And if we were doing all those things anyway, we thought, well, we might as well just support the whole organic milking. There was a group of folks from Organic Valley that came up to our extension office and talked to a lot of farmers. They had a meeting probably around 2002, 2003. And at that point, we made the decision that we would go in that direction. And it's a decision that I certainly haven't regretted.
What has it been like for you in the pandemic?
Well, for one thing, I realized that in farming, I am already socially distant. That's one thing. I mean, I realize I do see people during the day, but very few. Because of farming needs, I'm usually home doing things that have to be done. I'm not out and about a lot.
Yeah.
As far as the pandemic itself impacting the farm, I know a lot of conventional farmers that were impacted. They had to dump milk at the beginning of the pandemic, and there are a lot of different milk companies that have had a COVID fee, if you will, taken out of the milk check. So I believe it has impacted them somewhat more. As far as our farm, we have just been very happy that as far as supply, Organic Valley, which does have a supply management chain, has been able to manage the amount of milk so it keeps all of our prices somewhat stable.
There hasn't been a huge disruption in your supply chain.
Not as much because if you think about it, there is more conventional milk in schools, yeah, restaurants, other things.
Right.
Usually when you go to a restaurant, if you're going to exclusively have organic food, then you've got organic milk served there. If you're going to a a regular restaurant or a food chain, you're not you don't really get the choice to have organic milk or not. You get the milk that's given with your meals. So that's why I believe it impacted organic farmers more. It was just the way that the supply chain was set up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Linda Seeler is with us, operates Hillside Dairy in Catawba, is a Wisconsin Farmers Union board member. We're looking at the economic effects of the pandemic through her farming operation, getting your perspective as well. Farmers, how has the pandemic impacted your farm and finances? Have you tried to adjust your business? Have you had to dump produce, milk, eggs? What was that like? 800-642-1234. Linda, there has been an immense pressure on dairy farms straight across Wisconsin and elsewhere to get bigger, right? To add to your head, to be able to keep your operations going and to turn a profit. What is that pressure like with you? I mean, you have 50 head of cattle. Do you feel that pressure to get bigger?
At times I do, because you're kind of in a unique group. You're so small not to be considered super important, but I believe our product that we produce here is important, just like every dairy farm is, irregardless of the size and the amount of manpower that it takes to run that farm. I would say that basically I was totally appalled when the Secretary of Agriculture made those remarks in Wisconsin. I thought back to Earl Butts and get bigger or get out. And I know a lot of small farms where people work really hard that were fighting, especially with conventional farms and the way the prices have been on a downhill cycle for the last 5 years. And people are really struggling here to get supply management to work for them, irregardless of what size farm they have. I think that that was a real big blow.
Yeah. When you look at the aid that has been offered to farmers in this crisis, the Wisconsin Farm Service Agency had said the coronavirus food assistance program has really helped farmers. How do you see this aid getting to people in your, you know, in your area, in your profession?
Well, the payments have been really timely and they've been appreciated. With this round two, there are more commodities covered than there were in round one. And I think that's a really positive thing. There isn't any farmer that really is just looking for a handout. You know, we're looking for stable prices. We're hoping for supply management so that we can have those stable prices. We're hoping that we don't continue to have an economic downturn as far as it has been for the last 5 years, because there's only so far a person can tighten their belt in any business. And our belts are about as tight as they can get. I do appreciate that this particular payment has been really timely. I had applied for it within the window and have already received it. And that, I think, is really a very good responsive thing. I know with the initial payments, I think there are more people, since there's only 1% of us that farm, most of the people can relate to the initial $1,200 that was granted to all of America. And there were a lot of people that did not receive those payments until later. And this particular round of payments has been extremely timely and I think is really extremely appreciated by a lot of farmers.
Has getting that access, filling out that application, has that been streamlined and straightforward?
I found it to be extremely streamlined. I sent it to my FSA office. They immediately returned the papers. So the turnaround time for me to sign everything after they had entered it, they called with a few questions, a few clarifications of things. And then they said, okay, we're going to throw your paperwork in the mail. It'll be there. Just sign it, send it back. So I, as far as my personal experience, it was streamlined and just real easy to work with. They made it easy to work with.
We're talking with dairy farmer Linda Seeler, who's explaining how her farm is affected by the pandemic's economic fallout. She's giving us a better sense of what farmers like her are going through. How have you changed your operations? What have you learned about farming in the pandemic? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. If you're just joining us, we're discussing the plight of farmers in the pandemic and whether The aid is stabilizing markets and farm operations here in Wisconsin. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. According to an August survey of nearly 8,500 ag lenders, about one in five farm borrowers asked to restructure loans this year because of the pandemic's economic instability. And lenders are closely monitoring farm income and debt headed into 2021. Are you worried about your farm debt? Might you have to refinance to keep the farm running? Have you talked with your lenders about what you're facing? What do they say? Join in at 800-642-1234. We have organic dairy farmer Linda Seeler, who is secretary of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, and she's with us for 10 more minutes. So, Linda, you said earlier the remarks by Agriculture Secretary Sonny Perdue in October 2019 at the World Dairy Expo in Madison. He said, in America, the big get bigger and the small get out. How do you feel about President-elect Joe Biden's pick of Tom Vilsack for Ag Secretary?
I'd have to say that there are a few others that I had just talked with a group of farmers yesterday, and the consensus was that due to some of his leaving and going out into the corporate sector and coming back, we're kind of going to be pushing that possibly there could be a choice that could be a little bit more favorable to us. And that was a group of farmers I was speaking with that were it was on a call that was a national call, not just a local Wisconsin call, although there were several Wisconsin farmers that brought this up for discussion. So I am hoping that possibly we can have some influence, and maybe there's someone that's a little more total farm friendly.
I would imagine you want policymakers to be able to walk in your footsteps, to feel what you feel.
Absolutely. To have a feel for everyone's footsteps, whether large or small, no matter what kind of operation, I think it would be a better fit personally. And I agreed with the folks that were talking yesterday. So hopefully there's time. There were a few names thrown about that I won't really mention here,
sure.
But I think it does really, I think it really matters what the policy is from the person. And I really think we need a fresh set of eyes. After Vilsack, we just continued to hemorrhage farms. There continued to be problems. So I really think we need a fresh set of eyes on the situation and a fresh set of maybe looking outside of the box on policy. Someone that favors supply management across the board for a lot of the crops, I think that would be a good change.
Do you feel like the record number of farm bankruptcies is really worrisome to the industry as a whole?
I do. I think that part of it, if you're looking at a record number of farm bankruptcies, you're also looking at the average age of a farmer,
mm-hmm.
and the amount of problems that someone would have getting started to have access to capital, to have access to land, to have access to everything that it takes to make the operation go. I thought it was hard when I started out, and that was in the 90s because was not from a farming background. I think it is 10 times harder than I ever imagined now for people to get started and for people to stay started.
Is it those upstart costs? Is it the cost that you run into in replacing equipment? What are the biggest expenses?
Well, across the board, everything is expensive. The startup costs, I mean, land has always been something that has gone up in price. It depends on what kind of operation you're starting. Maybe you can custom hire stuff to be done for a certain amount of time until you can afford to have your own equipment. But custom hire is not inexpensive. Plus, depending on your area, if you're custom hiring to have somebody to do things, every time the weather breaks, they're all rushing to get everything done in a very small window. So that means that possibly your crop harvest could be delayed from where it's prime to maybe going down to a little bit more choice.
Variables that you just cannot control.
You can't control. I mean, you can pencil a lot of things out, but everything that everything that it goes into farming, the static costs, you've got to have a certain amount of profit to come back to pay for those things. Mm-hmm. And when you're starting out and the profits are so low that even people that have been in with a certain amount of capital for X amount of years are losing their farms, then you can understand how hard it is for a person to start out without that capital base to go ahead and continue to build on it. It's just a very, very tough time to start, and we need younger people coming in.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Linda Seeler. She's an organic dairy farmer in northern Wisconsin on the board of the Wisconsin Farmers Union, taking your insights on farming now amid the pandemic at 800-642-1234. Bob is joining us from Mauston this morning. Hi, Bob.
Hello.
Hi.
Well, the thing that I see in what she's talking about is the same thing, is that back in 1950, when I was at 4-H Club Congress, and following the war, when the United States had fed Northern Africa, part of Europe that wasn't under German control, and the Scandinavian countries, and part of Russia, and so on, afterwards, we had a surplus. And that surplus, according to the experts, is how they would get rid of it, is if we paid the farmer less, he would produce less, and they wouldn't have a surplus. This has been the program through the years. And what it is, back in the 80s, we took over the home farm, and we wanted to or needed to borrow $90,000, but we had to expand and get to almost $275,000 in borrowed money. Then the government raised the interest rate from 9% to 18%. Talking to several farmers about the same time, it made no difference if you was in the hog business, the beef business, the milk, or eggs, or any of it. This was the way that the modern industry of farming became.
The debt to expense ratio, debt to income ratio, just out of whack, I think, Bob, what you're leading to here. Linda, how would you fix milk pricing in 2020, 2021, going beyond?
I think that you need to have a supply management program. I think that if you're, for instance, if the, let's just say the price is going to go high for the year, so everybody's going to add on cows, and then we're going to oversupply, so then we're going to have the price drop again. Basically, it has been shown many times, models that we have seen done by ag experts that have shown that if you have supply management, you can milk less animals or create less crop. And because the supply is managed, you have a better idea of what you're going to get paid at the end of the whole cycle. And you also have a pay price that's more stable. It's really hard in farming to go ahead and put a crop in, or as this gentleman said, to go ahead and borrow money and be told, well, you know, you need to borrow more money. Really what you want to do is going to cost this. And if you do this, you'll be making more money. And then all of a sudden the interest rate goes up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have no control over that. That's set by somebody else. You can't really see it coming. Obviously, if you could, you would probably be a more money market person than you would be a farmer. And granted, farming has risks. Weather's a risk. Going outside's a risk. Starting a tractor, it could be done that day. Anything's a risk. You're not guaranteed everything. But if you do have somewhat of a mechanism to stabilize your price, at least you have an idea of what you're going to be paid with a minor fluctuation, not fluctuation that means dollars per hundred or, dollars per pound or whatever else you're being paid. That's why a lot of people succeed in direct marketing, because they have more control of their price and they understand the product. You know, if you're making vegetables, you understand that, you know, my buyers are going to need X amount of broccoli. I might grow a little bit to hedge in case an insect problem happens or something else, but I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
That way you have an idea of what you're producing and what you're going to be paid. And it's the same way with any of the other markets. Right now, corn market is suffering because of changes in the ethanol policy and changes in the blend. These people are suffering because they put in a crop and they figured, well, okay, I can make X amount of money. Now it's down to where maybe it's break even. That's kind of tough to go out and do all that work, plant all those acres, take all that risk, and then think about, well, I might start out with what I had. And as a gentleman also said, farming is pretty much about moving money. I mean, you've got a certain amount of reservoir of money, and you're always just moving it and trying to stay ahead of it. And when all of a sudden something happens and it cascades backwards, it's really hard to pick that up. It's hard to get that momentum back. That's why I think that supply management, which is used in my co-op, I think it's an excellent tool. And it doesn't really favor anybody. It looks out for everybody that's planting, whether you're small, whether you're large, irregardless of the crop that you're growing.
Linda, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. You're welcome. And you guys have a great day.
You too. Linda Seeler operates Hillside Dairy, an organic dairy in northern Wisconsin. Coming up, we discuss the expected flight of bald eagles toward our state this year. We'll talk eagles after this news update on the Ideas Network.